Welcome to episode 7 of Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. Yes, it's episode 7, as you can hear from the flute. It is time for the beginning of my podcast, because that has become my signature, to begin the podcast with my flute and to end the podcast with my flute. I'm not the greatest flute player. I'm not the greatest flutist, or I don't know how you say it, flutist or flautist. I don't know why you would say flautist, because you're not playing the flout. But I think it is flautist. But I'm self-taught, and I just mess around. I'm just messing around and just doing it for... I'm just doing it to get, for meditative reasons, and just to do it like that. And I'm just picking out little melodies, making up my own melodies. And so, I don't know why I'm going on so much about my flute playing, but just to explain that I'm not really, just in case anybody out there is listening going, boy, that Al can sure play the flute. I'm pretty limited in my flute playing. So it's a couple days before Christmas, and we're right in the kind of the middle of Hanukkah. Want to wish all my Jewish friends a happy Hanukkah, and all my Gentile friends a Merry Christmas, and everybody else, whatever you celebrate or not celebrate. I mentioned, a podcast two ago about how Christmas, growing up, as a Jewish kid, felt kind of left out. But the one thing that's interesting is the whole Santa Claus thing, how it would be one thing if they just had a story of Santa Claus that they would read to little kids, and that would be that. But what they do is the people that celebrate Christmas, you know who you are. They make the little kids believe that there really is a Santa Claus. I mean, and it becomes, they just, they really work hard to give, there's a Santa Claus and he's coming and you better be good. And he's fat and he's got a big white beard and he's going to come down the chimney and he's going to eat your cookies and he's going to leave presents and that kind of a thing. And then at some point when the kids get to be a little bit older, and they go, nah, that was just trying to make your Christmas better, but now we're ruining it because now you know that we lied to you. And I would bet that deep down in the subconscious of a lot of these people, this is the beginning of them not trusting other people. Because it's like, wait a minute, a basic core thing like Christmas? I mean, why didn't they just say that Jesus was going to return? I mean, it would have made more sense because it's his birthday. Although it's not really his birthday, according to what I've read, Jesus was born during the census taking, which would have been the spring. But the Romans changed it to December 25th because it coincided with their sun-worshipping holiday, and they didn't want to close the schools and the banks on two different times, so they just decided to kind of merge. So Santa Claus, I don't know. I remember I was a kid, and some people, they call him Santa Claus. Santa. Not Santa. Santa Claus. But me, being a Jewish kid, I was privy. Is that the right word? Privy? I was privy to the information that there was no Santa Claus. And maybe that's why the Jews are considered the chosen people, because they were chosen to know that there was no Santa, and they knew the truth right from the get-go. They knew the truth. It was all BS. But I grew up in a very large apartment building. Well, seven-story apartment building, about, I think, 8 apartments per floor. So about 56 apartments in this building, and I lived in the neighborhood of other buildings like this. And I knew that if Santa Claus is coming down the chimney, this is before I found out there wasn't any Santa Claus, when I thought there kind of was, and I was and I thought he was an anti-Semite. I said, if he's coming down the chimney, it doesn't make any sense because my chimney in my building leads to the incinerator, which was a dirty, disgusting place where people threw their garbage. And then I don't know how often, maybe it was once a day or once a week. I don't remember. But in those days, they used to actually burn the garbage in there. So you would open up the lid to throw your garbage away, and the flames would be shooting up through the chimney. So I just knew that no fat white guy in a beard is going to be falling down a chimney into my dirty incinerator and then crawling out some little doorway and talking about ho-ho-hoing and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, by all means, believe in Santa Claus. There's a guy in my neighborhood, one of my parents' friends. He was a Catholic guy, Italian guy, a funny guy. And he used to say, tell me that I didn't have Santa Claus didn't come visit me. He called it Chinooka Joe, you know, for Hanukkah. He could pronounce Hanukkah Chinooka, which is actually, if you look at the way it's spelled, it's reasonable to want to pronounce it that way. He would say, Chinooka Joe is going to come. Hey, Al, don't worry. Don't worry. Sandy ain't coming to your house, but Chinooka Joe's coming. And I'd be like, okay, I'm cool with that. So Christmas is here, and I've been getting some Christmas cards. It's funny, the Christmas cards I get, some of the Christmas cards I get are from people I never, ever see or hardly stay in touch with. And there's one family that every year, gosh, they like clockwork. They send me the Christmas cards with the kids. And, you know, I mean, and it's funny to see the progression of the kids growing up. Like you see the early pictures when they were cute little, you know, cute little babies, and then there were cute little toddlers, and then now they're in that kind of ugly, awkward stage with the braces and the goofy smiles, and I never even acknowledge these people. I feel bad. I actually mean to contact them at some point and at least thank them for thinking of me. But it always slips my mind because they're not really in my life. So anyway, that's some Christmas cards like that. And I'm going to be going to my friends Deb and Rudy's for a Christmas dinner. It's a very small dinner. And I mean, not a small amount of food. I don't think it's just a small amount of people. It'd be funny if I go over there and they just give you like, you know, here, I made one meatball. That's it. Now get out of here. I'm back to doing the and. I've been really trying not to do the and as, so what else is going on in my building here? The little news from the building. I found out that we have a security building, and what that means is that it's supposed to be kept locked, and you're supposed to have a key or a code to get in here, or have somebody from inside buzz you. And I found out through the mail lady. Always sounds weird. The mail. I remember. It was always just mailmen. Now there's women who do it, which is fine. But I think mail lady just sounds too weird. But anyway, the postal woman, her name is Marcella, very sweet lady. She told me during the week that the gate was kind of ajar. Like, it's easy to get in because the gate is ajar. It's ajar. I'm not going to make the ajar joke. But that it's you just pull on it and you can get in. So I thought, oh, I got to call the manager, our on-site manager, who is an on-site manager, but he's rarely on-site. And so I meant to call him, but then I forgot. Then Wesley comes over. Wesley, as many of you might know or may not know, he's my webmaster. I don't know. He's not really a master. If he was a webmaster, would I be his web slave? All right, that's too weird. I'm sorry. He came over. He goes, yeah, Marcelo was right. The door is ajar. So I said, I'm going to call the manager just to let him know. And I call him up and I tell him, hey, you know, two different people are telling me that the door is not closed, that people can just get in the building. I thought you might like to know. And he says, you know, ever since we got that gate fixed, it just takes a while for it to close shut completely. And I was thinking, a more accurate statement would be, ever since we got that gate fixed, it hasn't been fixed. See, it's not fixed. It doesn't take a long while for it to close. What does it take? Days? I mean, we're not having hundreds or thousands of people coming in and out of this building. It's just not fixed. Maybe it's fixed now. But there's my little, rant on that. And one other thing. I was doing my laundry this week, and another kind of phenomenon about living in a building like this. We have 30 apartments in this building, and we have a laundry with two washers and two dryers. And if you go in there when somebody else is already occupied, you know, there's a certain kind of etiquette in doing your laundry in a public situation, whether you're in a regular public laundry or when you're in like one like this in the building. And when I'm doing my laundry, if somebody's waiting and I have my clothes in the dryer and they're done and they're waiting for to get in there, I will take all my clothes out of the dryer and put them on what's called the folding table. We have a folding table in the laundry. It's there. The table's there. So you can take your clothes out of the dryer and put them on the table, and you can either stuff them into your laundry bag or fold them on the table. But I go in there, and this has happened with a couple of different tenants. So when I see these people, usually if I see them, if I can tell they're in the laundry, I won't even go in there because these people, what they do is you're waiting for, I was waiting to get into the washer. Now, this person had both washers and both dryers, and they were both done. And she was going to take the two dryers out and then take the two washers and put them into the dryers. Fine. I'm all for it. Let's get the laundry done. But she's taking, I just gave it away. It's both times it's women. And I'm not saying that women are the ones that only ones that would do something like this, but it may be true. I'm not sure. But she takes each article of clothing individually out of the dryer and folds them as she takes them out and sort of snaps them and folds them without going to the table and puts it in her bag, which is on top of the dryer. And this actually prolongs the whole laundry experience, which I don't know about you, but it's laundry is not one of my favorite things to do. And I didn't want to complain. I took it like a good laundry soldier. I just hung in there and I just waited. But I thought, you know what, it's a little bit discourteous. You know, the proper thing would have been just get your friggin' laundry. And I said, see, I'm saying, I haven't said friggin' in a while. Just get your laundry out of the dryer and fold it. I mean, how much more? Anyway, okay, but enough about that. Enough about that. So, I went to a little strip mall not too far from my home the other day. I was going to go to the Subway sandwich place where I was getting not a sandwich but a salad. Just letting you know that I was getting a salad. Not that it matters to the story or it matters to you. And I pull up, and this is kind of a sketchy neighborhood where this is. And I pull up, and there's this young kid. He can't be more than 20, if he's that, 21. Maybe he's younger. And he's just kind of sitting on the ground against the wall, against the El Pollo Loco restaurant, which is right next door. As you can tell, this is a fine strip mall. They have El Pollo Loco and Subway. You can't get much more finer dining than that. And I come out of my car, and the kid, I think one of his friends yelled something to him, and he laughed, and then he looked at me and said something like, oh, my friend just made a joke or something. And I said, oh, that's cool. And then I said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm trying to make some money. And I said, that's interesting. Here's this guy sitting on the ground against the wall of an El Pollo Loco trying to make some money. And I said, how are you going about trying to make some money? He goes, well, I'm telling people happy holidays. And I'm thinking, wow, did he come up with this on his own? Really? That's quite a marketable skill, my friend. Sitting on the ground saying happy holidays, you may get tapped. You keep doing that, and some big corporate CEO is going to pull up to get a Subway sandwich and go, young man, come with me. I'm looking for people like you. Come. Happy holidays. Who would have thought? Now get in my car or get on your bike or whatever and come with me to the big corporate place. And I said to him, which maybe I was cool with the kid. I just said, well, have you thought about a job? I know the economy is weird, but have you thought about a job for making money? And he said, I had a job. And then that was the end of that sentence. He didn't tell me what happened. I didn't ask. And I said, okay, well, I'll see what I can do. So I went in the Subway and I came out and, you know, I gave him a few dollars. You know, some people would say, oh, he's just going to use it for drugs. What? I don't care what he uses it for. You know what? He's a kid. He needs money, whatever. It doesn't really matter. What does it matter what these people use it for? If they need the money, they need the money. I mean, you can't give it to everybody, but, you know, I give as much, you know, most of the time if I've got some spare money. Spare money. David Brenner used to have a great joke when he would be asked if he had any spare change. David Brenner, one of the greatest comedians ever. The joke was that when he would be asked if he had any spare change, he would say, oh, I'm so glad I ran to you. I was about to throw these quarters away. Which shows you how old that joke is because that people were giving quarters away. Anyway, I gave him a few dollars. And I said to him, man, you know, just get out of, you know, you got to get out of this neighborhood, man. It's not a good neighborhood for someone like you. And he said he was trying to get back to Arizona. He was from Arizona. And I wished him luck. And the very next day, I pull up. Again, sometimes I go on these runs where I go to Subway a couple days in a row or whatever. And I went again. And there he is again, sitting on the sidewalk. And I get out and I go, you're here again? And he goes, what do you mean? I go, I gave you money yesterday. And he goes, oh, thanks. And I said, and I'm looking at him because, and he looked the same. It was, and I said to him, and I don't know, we were talking. I said, you're from Arizona. He goes, no, I'm from Dallas. And then I realized it was not the same kid. It was a kid that looked like him. And he was a white kid. These are white kids. So that proves to me that, you know, how some people think that certain ethnic groups all look alike, but it's not ethnic groups. It's just certain. There are certain people that look alike, and these two guys, I don't know, it would look like they could have been brothers. Maybe they were brothers from different states. And I wasn't going to give him any money. I didn't get into a long, drawn-out conversation with him, but I went in, and I actually got in my car, and I was pulling out, and then I felt guilty, and I called him over and gave him a couple bucks, not as much as I gave the other kid, but... And I'm telling that story not because I'm such a great guy who gives money to people. I'm just telling the story because I have to fill time for this podcast. And I thought it was an interesting story. And you know when I say I'm thinking about what to say next. I am now officially wireless in my home. I've been tethered to my DSL. For the last 3 years, and I live in a small studio apartment, so it really wasn't that much of a inconvenience. But Wesley, who is technologically more advanced than I am by about 10 to 20 clicks, I say, he said, you know what, you got to get a router, we got to get you wireless, so man, so you can sit in that other chair. And I agreed with him. You're sitting in the other chair and use your computer. And I agreed with him. And so I ordered a router from Apple. And Wesley was trying to get me to get this one router, which backs up everything you do. and backs up every, has a record of every website you visit. And I said to him, you know, Wesley, there's some websites I just don't want certain people to know I'm visiting. So maybe I'll just get, can I just get a regular router that just makes me wireless? And he said, yeah. So I ordered it and it came. And of course, as in everything I've done so far in this putting this podcast together, my new website, anything technological with the computer, there's always a glitch. And the first glitch was that my surge protector just was too small to accommodate my router and everything else. So I had to, when Wesley came over, I had to order that. So that took another few days and I got that. And then, because I do everything online and it gets delivered to me. And so I got the surge, we finally get the surge protector. And so Wesley comes over and he's doing everything. I'm just sitting in the other chair. He's doing everything. And he's entering all this information that they're asking for. And there's no shortage of passwords that come up and different names for things. And so I'm writing this information down, which I have to enter sometime, somewhere safe and secure, because we wouldn't want Al-Qaeda or somebody to break in to my website and listen to my pop or do a podcast impersonating me. And we're going along fine. Everything's good. And then we hit what's the proverbial snag. They want to know what our DSN address is. What's my DSN address? I didn't know I had a DSN address. I have no idea that I have a DSN address. And so how do we find out where this DSN address is? So Wesley suggests, since I'm with AT&T, to call AT&T. And so I call AT&T and get through and prove to them. You know, you have to always prove who you are. And then I hand the phone over to Wesley, and it's a gentleman from India. We've called India, and I'm not going to make any jokes about, you know, India and how the jobs are being taken away. We all know, whatever, it is what it is. We're living in a global world, folks. The world is smaller now. This is the way it is, the way it's going to be for a while. I don't see it ever going back to the way it was. I think we're just going to have to get global, man. Anyway, he's this guy in India starts to, and at this point, we've been going at this for a couple hours. This has taken way longer than we thought. And now this guy is directing Wesley on how to get this DSN DSN address. And it's just, we're just going around in circles. We just keep coming back to the same nothing, the same nothingness. You know, we're pointing and clicking and pointing and clicking and pointing and clicking and nothing's happening. And, you know, I'm starting to get, my blood sugar is going low. I haven't eaten all day. And Wesley's been here for like 3 hours. And I make an executive decision. I say, Wesley, shut this thing down. Let's just call it a day. And I will call Apple later or tomorrow or something, because I still am under the Apple Care Protection Plan, which I think I'm under for like maybe another month at the most. And then they're going to throw a big going away party for me. And he agrees. And, you know, nothing, you know, the guy, he didn't help us at all. And so the next time Wesley comes over a couple of days later, we call Apple Care. We get through to the right person. I put Wesley on the phone with them. And within a matter of minutes, we are wireless. The guy just told him he had to reset something with a paper clip or a pen. It was just like, you know, at one point Wesley goes, "Do you have a paper clip?" I go, "Why?" And he goes, "Because they want me to reset this thing." I go, "God, it's all this technology and I got to do it with a paper clip." Okay, whatever. But he was able to do it and boom, we are wireless. And it just made me think about that guy in India and AT&T. Why didn't he just tell us that we were in the wrong place? Why was he I don't understand what he did. Nothing for us. He wasted our time. Why didn't he? It's like going to McDonald's and trying to get a sirloin steak. It's not going to happen. Why? I'm going to keep asking why, even though I can't get the answer. So I'm wireless. I am wireless now, and I'm very proud of that. I feel like, my friend Jason mentioned that I'm kind of like a guy who's from 1912, who doesn't know much about hardly anything, but I'm getting better, and I am. It's going to be 2012, and I am entering the 21st century finally. So I'm going to get a cell phone in a couple of days. I haven't had a cell phone ever. I'm going to get me a smartphone, and I'll be reporting on that. I've just one of those kind of people that has avoided all this stuff, but now I'm embracing it. As you can see, I'm doing a podcast in my house. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to myself into a microphone in my studio apartment for the entertainment pleasure of others and myself as well. And let's see, what else do I want to talk about here? I sent a couple friends of mine, Deb and Rudy, who I'm going to Christmas, I sent them a gift through the internet. And when I, it was a nice gift, and it doesn't really matter what it is, but I just sent it. I don't want to say what it is. That I think they already know, yeah, because it came, and anyway, that's irrelevant. I sent the gift, and I did it through the internet. And at one point, you know, it's one of these kind of websites where they really get you. Like, they're really good with the add-ons. Like, hey, you know, would you like to, if you get, for another $10, you can get the double the order. And I go, okay, great, boom. Then you go to the, you know, you think you're checking out. They go, hey, you know, for another $5, you can get this. Oh, okay, good. And then, now I'm ready to check out. They're letting me go. They go, okay, we've got enough money from this guy. Okay, let's let him go. And I give him, I did it through PayPal, so I didn't even have to give him my credit card information. I do it through PayPal, which already has my credit card information. I give him the shipping address, where I want it to ship, where I want it to be shipped. And then they ask me if I would like to get a shipping rebate. They say, you know, you can get a free a shipping rebate if you just fill this out. And I go, well, hell yeah. Hell yeah, I want a shipping rebate. So I fill it out. And I usually don't fall for this, but they asked for my credit card information, which I remember the little voice inside me said, what's this for? And usually I obey that, but I guess I was just in a shopping blackout. I was like, I don't know. I already did. They don't need my credit card information. I already did through PayPal, and it's a rebate. I don't know. Maybe they just need it because they want to have it. I don't know. And so I gave it to them. And then it gets to the point of the the end of the transaction where I'm really going to just end this thing. And they say, you know, and by checking this box, you agree to all the terms and conditions, and which I've mentioned before. You know, who reads the terms and conditions? Who has the time? It's in fine print. It's, you know, a billion words long. You just agree. Whatever you say, sure. Whatever you want from me. So I agree. And then the transaction ends, and they say, congratulations, you are now a member of shipping.com, and as per our terms and conditions, once a month, we will bill you $12.97 to ship for shipping things. And I go, what? What are you talking about? $12.97? I didn't, for what? What am I shipping? My thoughts? I don't have that much shipping to do. I'm not in shipping business. So I find the phone number for the company that I ordered from. It's a berry company. And miraculously, they're open like 24/7. And this girl answers and she apologizes. I said, this is a little deceiving. And she goes, well, you know, we have this other company that actually does the shipping for us. And I'm very sorry that you had this experience. And So she gives me their number, and I said to, and she told me they're open 24/7 too. So of course they're open 24/7. There's people like me calling all the time. And so I call the shipping company, and I get this kind of bored woman. It's like, she must get a million calls like this. I go, listen, I didn't realize I was agreeing to $12.97 a month. I'm not shipping. I have nothing to ship every month. So can I just, let's just reverse this. And she said, fine. So we cancel that. And then at the end of the conversation, I say to her, do I still get my rebate? And she says, no, because I canceled the shipping thing before I agreed to the rebate. And I'm thinking, I thought that's what I was doing. I thought I had signed up for the rebate. How could I have canceled it before I signed up for it? When I signed up, that's what I thought I was signing up for. So I just let it go. I go, okay, fine, I'll pay the shipping. Let me out of here. This is craziness. You know, it's all part of the crazy, mixed up holiday season craziness that's going on. And one last story, it involves my cute parents who are living in the Midwest now with my sister. And they always send me a Hanukkah check. Hanukkah! And my birthday, because my birthday's coming up a few days after Christmas. So I asked them, you know, because I don't hardly ever go to the bank, because I always have my checks kind of direct deposited, you know. So I called up, and first thing I said to my mom is, I said, you know, you don't really have to send me a Hanukkah present. That's like, Hanukkah's for kids, or a birthday present. It's fine. You know, I know you love me, and you don't have to do that. And if you do, but I said, if you're going to send me something, could you not send me a check, because it's kind of inconvenient and blah, blah, blah. And my mother goes, I don't know what I would get you. I just don't know. I just have no idea. I mean, well, I said, you could send cash. Oh, no. No, that's very dangerous. The cash is very dangerous. And I was like, all right. I mean, I don't know the last time somebody ripped open one of our envelopes, but okay, I don't want to get you all anxious about sending cash. And I said, okay, well, you know, whatever you want to do. Okay, whatever you want to do is fine. It's fine with me. And we hang up. And then a couple days later, I get a call from my dad. Hey, Al, give me a call when you get a chance. And I call him back, and I can hear in his voice, he's got this sort of insulting, he's insulted a little bit. Like, well, what is this that I want a gift from us. What's going on here? Like, I've crossed some weird line. I go, well, I just didn't really want a check. I didn't want checks or a check. I don't know. You can get me a gift, sure. And then we go around in circles about that. And then by the end of the conversation, I say, you send me a check. And another reason that I didn't want him to send me a check, or them to send me a check, was because, you know, my dad is very diligent about keeping his checks, which one's clear. And he's very, you know, he's like a bookkeeper. He's got an incredible mathematical mind. And he, when he sends you the checks, then he's always and if the check hasn't cleared, he keeps asking you, oh, when are you going to cash the check? When are you going to cash the check? When are you going to cash the check? So I said to him, I don't know when you send. I mean, I might cash it right away, or I might not cash it for a while. So please don't keep asking me when I'm going to cash the check, you know. So he said, I promise you I will not ask you. I know him. It would drive him crazy if he just sees that check that's not cleared. It's just making him nuts. That check's got to be cleared. I got to write the clear thing in there, even though he knows it's out there. So I say, okay, fine, send me the checks. So a couple days ago, I get a Hanukkah card in the mail from my parents, and my mother writes, she writes that they sent me just one check this time. They combined my Hanukkah and my birthday present so that I wouldn't have to go to the bank twice, which is cute, because I usually take both checks and go, you know, one trip. But fine, no big deal. And I read this, and I go, okay, that's nice. So I call my parents up, and my dad answers the phone, and I tell him, hey, Dad, I got your gift, thank you. And his first question always is, when did you get it? When did you get it? He always wants to know when you got it. It's always sort of like, he's always like, and it never gets there fast enough. What? You just got it now? You just got it. Like, I mailed it on Friday. Just got it now? Dad, it's Monday. It's Tuesday. You're in the Midwest. I mean, give him a break. It's, what am I, who am I supposed to call somebody and berate them? I don't know what you want me to do. I don't know. I don't even check my mail every day because I just don't. Sometimes I just forget. So I said, Dad, sometimes I forget to check my mail every day. I mean, it might have been there. It might have been laying there for 3 days for all I know. But the important thing is, I've got it. And he goes, okay. And then he puts my mom on the phone. And my mom, I say, hi, Mom. Thanks for the gift. I got it. And she goes, really? You got it already? And there's the key to my parents' success in a long marriage. I guess that opposites attract. Because for my dad, it never gets there fast enough. And for my mom, she's amazed how fast it got there. And so, folks, that is, I think I'm going to wind up this little podcast, episode 7. I feel pretty good about this one. I don't know. I feel pretty confident in what I've said and done. I think I'm accomplishing my goals with this. And so I want to wish everybody, it's going to be Christmas, and then I'm going to try to do, I guess I'll try to do another one before the new year. I'll try to do another podcast before the new year. But if I don't, Happy New Year. But I'm going to try to do another one. And so, again, thanks a lot. All of you who listen and comment to me, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California.